back needed a little bit of levity, and I wanted to remind Eric Bollard and John Podesta that I'm still here, and that I'm still trying to get more warriors to join the cause to take down the institutional left. I hope that that message was clear throughout the little attempts at comedy. So I'm kind of happy, but I'd really like for everybody to start taking seriously the gravity of the picture and story, because I knew from the very beginning when I started to break this story 7 months ago, when we started what has been an exhaustive research session, a series of sessions, and then in which I hired Lee Stranahan from the Huffington Post, knowing that the media wasn't going to cover a story that had such explosive ramifications, coming from the right-wing guy who was associated with Shirley Sherrod's firing, I said, how on God's green earth do I reinsert this narrative in which we get back into the facts of the case and get back into why, for 4 weeks, I was attacked by the institutional left. 4 weeks. 2 days would have worked. But it was a mechanism by which they could divert attention away from Obama's culpability on why he fired her without her due process. The day that it happened, I thought I had struck the bullseye, because she apologized. I mean, the NAACP apologized for the audience's reaction, which was my point. And Shirley Sherrod blamed the NAACP for the entire situation. Next thing I know, I'm being pummeled. It became 4 weeks of it, while at the same time, my entire email inbox was filled with hundreds of emails from people saying, this is about Pickford, this is about Pickford. I had never heard of Pickford in my entire life. And I really didn't address it until a couple weeks later. But people started to point out to me, did you see Lawrence O'Donnell's show on Wednesday? She was fired on Monday. It was a day in which I was traveling across the country, and I thought everything was fine, that we had shut up the NAACP, which had been attacking the Tea Party relentlessly. I was like, wow, this is great. I went on Hannity, I think, on Monday night, and by the time I woke up the next day, I was under utter assault. By Wednesday, Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC was talking about something that I don't think anybody in the room or I would understand what he was talking about. He said that the Pickford settlement money of $1.15 billion was potentially going to be taken out of a supplementary war funding bill. What better place to hide stealth reparations by the rural black vote scheme that had been hatched? It's provable. I have no problem going on CNN, ABC News, and having Ben Jealous and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. You bring the best of the organized left, and they want to call me a racist for pointing out their words. They're the ones who pitched this to people in the churches and at fish fries throughout the late 1990s, the early 2000s, all the way up to last month, where we went undercover into a black church where the head of the Black Farmers Association, Thomas Burrell, is still teaching. At this point, it was 150 people at this church, how they can fraudulently sign up to get their $50,000 check. I hate to, you know, have gallows humor, but it's so blatant that it's funny. How does Thomas Burrell convince people to get their $50,000 check when these people have never farmed before in their lives? He basically is a preacher, and so he says, he invokes God at the very beginning, and he basically says God wants you to have this money, and basically alludes to slavery and reparations. Then he says Congress wants you to get this money, and the judge wants you to get this money. Pickford was initially supposed to help hundreds of black farmers who were institutionally discriminated against. My days are spent talking with those black farmers who have been trying to get the story out for the last 12 years. They're the most honest people in the world, and they were screwed over not just first by the USDA, but they were used by the class action attorneys as a Trojan horse, and then the thing was diverted. They lost their land. They're getting offsets on their Social Security check. They lost out hugely in Pickford, yet their neighbors, who have never farmed a day in their lives, were getting $50,000 checks. Now let's get into the mathematics here. I promise you, there is no justification with what has happened, and everything I can say is beyond provable, and I can promise you that behind the scenes, despite the fact that the blogosphere has not seized upon the magnitude of the story, I can promise you that behind the scenes, they're shitting in their pants, and there are consequences going on right now as we know it. Today, Thomas Burrell, who we exposed in a press conference at Pickford by showing the 2 hours in which he teaches people how to defraud the government, how to get the $50,000 check. Some of the class action attorneys in Pickford, who are really bad guys and are making hundreds of millions of dollars off of the taxpayers' back in Pickford, have put a restraining order on Thomas Burrell, who has been doing this for years. Here's the basic math. There were 157 black farmers who entered Pickford. Al Pires, the lead lawyer, that's pretty much all he could find that had pretty good cases against the USDA that he could go forward on. He signed these guys up and said he would represent them, but he went up and negotiated with the USDA, the Justice Department, the Janet Reno Justice Department, and a judge, and crafted a resolution that structurally screwed over the black farmer. In fact, on the Thomas Burrell videos, they teach you that the way to get the check is like baseball, that there are four questions that you have to answer, and that if you answer one of those questions wrong, you're not going to get the money. And the first question is, were you a farmer? If you answer in the affirmative that you were a farmer, Thomas Burrell says, you're not going to get your money. So the black farmers were screwed over by their class action attorney. Why? Because Al Pires knew that he was not going to make tens of millions of dollars getting back land for his black farmer clients. We have Justice Department memos that show that the Justice Department excoriated Al Pires for not knowing anything about his own clients' cases. And with 2 weeks to go in the settlement, before the settlement was reached, they created a Track A component that for the $50,000 that allowed for attempted to farmers enter the class. That attempted to farmers standard was so easy that anybody could lie. And they were coached to lie to say that they attempted to farm. Their father attempted to farm, their grandfather attempted to farm between 1983 and 1997, and he teaches them in this session that who's going to know if you're not telling the truth? You're going to have to make a decision, but God wants you to have this money. Congress and the judge wrote this in such a way that they want you to get the money. It's all on tape. Pickford is falling apart. 157 black farmers, and it became 957 in the original class. They said that there would only be 2,000 to 3,000 claims in Pickford. In Pickford 1, which is the end of the lawsuit, there were 23,500 claimants, about 10 times more than they thought that there were going to be. In a country, according to the 1997 census, there were only 18,000 black farmers. Here's where it gets sexy. Barack Obama. Pickford's over. They kept extending the statute of limitations from late 1999 to 2000. That's how it got up to 23,500. But in a nation that was flush with cash, in the era of the dot-com boom, in a pre- and post-9/11 era, and a pre-Tea Party era, nobody cared about $1.5 billion, especially when these things were getting buried in war funding bills. Pickford is over. 23,500. Nobody pays attention to it except for the FBI. We have FBI affidavits and FBI whistleblowers who want to testify before Congress to talk about how they knew about the fraud, that they knew that they were going church to church, that they knew that they were selling it as reparations, and they were using it for the Democratic Party in order to buy rural black votes. They were calling it reparations and reparations conventions, called the Dorothy Tillman Reparations Convention, the End Cobra Conventions. So it's the year 2007, and the head of the National Black Farmers Association, John Boyd, perhaps you've seen him on CNN, calling Congressman Steve King a racist for using the term reparations. On CNN, he called Steve King a racist. It is the tool that the left uses in order to stop people from inquiring into a scandal of this proportion. This vindicates Steve King is not a racist. We have oodles of information in their own words, in Lexis, in documentary footage, in undercover footage, and from black farmers who lost their land and who I talk to every single day, who did not ever get their justice, and reject that in their name reparations has occurred while they lost their land. You talk to the black farmers, they're pissed off if their neighbors who work as mechanics or who work as policemen are getting $50,000 checks and they got screwed over. So Barack Obama in the year 2007 is invited by John Boyd, the head of the National Black Farmers Association, to open up Pickford to extend the statute of limitations. The Congressional Black Caucus writes the bill. They've extended the statute of limitations before, and now they want to extend it again. Pickford's over, 23,500. We're talking about 4,500 more than there are black farmers in the country. How many late filers did Barack Obama become the sole Senate sponsor in the year 2007 trying to extend the statute of limitations? 72,000 late filers, which makes it 94,000 people getting in line to get $50,000 checks. The numbers don't add up. They're scared senseless because they got caught red-handed. It's why Shirley Sherrod got fired, because she was set to make the most amount of money in the history of Pickford. $13 million for their defunct communal, but I would say communist farm. They were basically socialist radicals. They had a farm that went under in 1985. They reconstituted that farm and sued the government for $80 million in 1997 and lost. They re-entered the same complaint, in essence, through Pickford and got $13 million for New Communities, Inc. and $300,000 between them for pain and suffering. Who is Shirley Sherrod as relates to this? Is she peripheral or is she central? I think she's somewhere in between. Think about this. She worked for two entities since 1985. Farmers Legal Action Group and the Federation of Southern Cooperatives. What are those two organizations? If you were a black farmer like Jimmy DeSmute or Eddie Slaughter or Jimmy Head or Abraham Carpenter or Cecil Brewington, the guys that I talk to almost every day or at least every week for months and months on end, Shirley Sherrod was the person that the black farmers would go to say, Pickford has screwed us over. But Shirley Sherrod is one of the only farmers to have gotten money and the most amount of money in the history of the Pickford settlement. They put her in the Pickford Monitor, which worked with the judge, which audited the Pickford settlement. She had right in front of her the raw numbers that the black farmers were losing their land, yet everybody who never farmed, the attempted farmers, were getting $50,000 checks. So if you went to Farmers Legal Action Group or Shirley Sherrod, the Federation of Southern Cooperatives, they were party to this scam. You do the math on whether or not she's a good lady. You talk to the black farmers. They say that they never gave us justice. They know it's reparations, and they know that they're the needle in the haystack of Pickford. They've been trying to talk to ABC, CBS, NBC. They've they've been going to the Justice Department, they've been going to their own congressmen, and if you've been paying attention to this on big government, you'll see that six of these black farmers went to Congressman Sanford Bishop to say, we need to investigate the fraud in Pickford and to help the black farmers. And Sanford Bishop said, if we investigate Pickford, then the money's going to stop flowing. That's what the black farmers said on video. Sanford Bishop could have ignored it. He ran to his local papers, the Albany Herald, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and the Columbus paper, in which he stated to the first paper, is, what I knew about the fraud, but what am I supposed to do about it? Well, first of all, he's on the Agriculture Committee. He has oversight on the issue. Secondly, he was the co-author of the extension of the statute of limitations that brought this to 92,500. The black farmers hate the Congressional Black Caucus because they were the ones that benefited the greatest, because they had constituents with the narrative that they gave out $50,000 checks to as many people as humanly possible. They screwed over the black farmers. So to all conservatives out there who are fearful of touching race and being called a racist, it is the Congressional Black Caucus who were the perpetrators of black-on-black crime. That's what the black farmers describe it as such. And if there are congressional hearings, if the conservative movement ever gets the strength, and the politicians get the strength, you will be able to prove this stuff beyond a reasonable doubt. We have more USDA whistleblowers who will only testify if they're given congressional protection. We have a busload or two or three of black farmers who all tell the exact same horrifying story to me every single day. And we now have behind the scenes all of the players scurrying. And we've been told that one of the undersecretaries of the Secretary of Agriculture went down to Arkansas. His name's Pearly Reed. And he told a group of people with a heavy heart, Pickford 1 is now under review. And anyone in Pickford 2, that's 72,000, that tries to get their $50,000 check that shouldn't be getting it will be put in the penitentiary. The story is already broken. They're already trying to put pieces of gum in the dam as it's leaking. The only thing that is missing is the blogosphere, the mainstream media. The second that breaks, Congress will have the courage to investigate this, and I believe it will go to the highest offices of the land. Barack Obama didn't just singularly, as a senator, sponsor the legislation that took it from 22,000 black farmers, laughable at that, to 94,000, absurd, while the black farmers got screwed over. He also intimidated a witness, and we can show you the letter from Barack Obama, the senator, to Mike Johanns, the Agriculture Department, head of the Agriculture Department under Bush. Her name was Kim De Pasquale. She worked in the Fredericksburg, Virginia Farm Service Agency loan office. And she raised the specter that if Pickford was extended, that it would be awful. He found out about that. That was a whistleblower saying, hey, we've got a problem here. And she quoted her African-American boss who said that it would be awful. They knew it was awful because they knew that this was fraud. And Barack Obama could not afford, because he had invested in Pickford, that it would be exposed, because he had zero legislative. He had zero legislative track record. But why was he the sole sponsor of Congressional Black Caucus crafted legislation in an election year? I'll end it on this note. This isn't my narrative. This is the narrative of a documentary that was made in the year 2000 by the vice president of the Black Farmers and Agriculturists Association. His name is Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, the Minister of Agriculture for the Nation of Islam. And his farm is a few miles away from Shirley Sherrod's defunct New Communities, Inc. They're friends. He did a documentary that we are in possession of called The Snakes and the Reparations Grass, Anatomy of a Scam. in that video, he talks about why this was crafted to help the Democratic Party get out the votes. This is a vote scam. Barack Obama has his fingerprints all over it. The black farmers were screwed. And this is a fellow by the name of Lee Stranahan, who is a heroic documentarian from the Huffington Post, MoveOn.org, and formerly of Daily Kos, who I hired and granted him pure independence to go out there and disprove the report that we had. He came out of Arkansas, where he got one of the class action attorneys to admit that my own clients got away with murder, hundreds of them, because it was so easy to get the money. He's an officer of the court, and he's never been held to account for this. Lee Stranahan got that video. Got a hell of a lot more, including Mike Espy, who is representing thousands of clients, suing the government for the exact time that he was the head of that department. There are so many people who should be in orange jumpsuits as relates to this, and the President of the United States should be ashamed of himself for doing this to the black farmers. He told Shirley Sherrod, "You need to read my book." That was his response to his firing her, because she thought he wasn't in for the cause. He should watch our documentary, because he went against the black farmers. He should be ashamed of himself, because if he believes in social justice and economic justice, he certainly didn't for the black farmers of Pickford. This is Lee Stranahan.
Hi, everyone. The thing I would say is, when Andrew and I talked, we just met each other for the first time a couple days ago. I've been on the road 2 months. We've been in 10 states doing interviews. We've done over 14 hours of interviews. When Andrew and I talk about this stuff, we spend half the time talking about the issue and half the time talking about how to get media traction. So we really need you guys. If you ever have any questions, my name is Lee Stranahan. My email is lee@stranahan.com. If anyone needs my phone number, I'll give it to you. If you have any questions about the story, I'll give you anything you need to. It's a complex story, but we're really trying to get traction. And we're caught at every step of mainstream media and also the government. The USDA is not being very helpful. So anything I can do to answer questions, let me know. Okay? Thank you.